I'm Dave. I'm here with Phil Knoll, and we're going to go over some of the do's and don'ts, some of the walkthroughs and things you might want to know about a DOT inspection. You've got a history in law enforcement. I would assume over your years of in the service, you've probably done a few DOT inspections in life.
Yeah, I have to clarify. I was a county sheriff's deputy for 17 years in uniform. So I didn't have a tire with wings on my doors. And for those people not in Ohio, that's the Ohio State Patrol.
Yeah.
But I went through the same training that they did. And we also helped them out whenever they needed help. Anytime they had a blitz or anytime they had any kind of week long, we would assign people to go out and work with them.
Okay. Like during the 72-hour DOT blitz they
That's
do every
it.
Year. Yeah. Okay.
That's it. So yeah, I'm very familiar. Plus, I worked a lot of fatal accidents with commercial vehicles, so that we also had to, you know, do our inspection and do everything we need to do there with that. But
yeah, because anytime there's like an accident or anything, you have to do a DOT inspection.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. All right. And it's a level one inspection too. So
it's a thorough
inspection. It's very thorough.
Yeah. Now, how much training and stuff did you have to go through to do a DOT inspection? Just out of curiosity.
I think I went through a 48-hour course. And then after that, then we were assigned with not troopers, but they were the motor carrier inspectors.
Okay.
So we had to work with them for probably 4 hours. And then anytime we did that afterwards, like for a blitz, we worked with someone else from the state. We never did it by ourselves. So there's always two officers.
There's always two. Okay.
And the reason that is, like you said, it's 72 hours or it's a week long. You know, we want to get trucks in, check them, and get them back on the road. We didn't want to hold them there for an hour, hour and a half, while one person did everything.
And I've seen that before where you get pulled over to scale, or there's a place in West Virginia, we call it the Gauntlet. It's at one of the service plazas, and then they make all the trucks go in and go around this big, huge circle in the back, and the whole middle of the circle is nothing but DOT everywhere.
Yeah.
And if they point at you and flag you over, you got to pull in, and there's one doing paperwork and one getting information. And there's usually, a lot of times you see them in teams of two. I've always wondered about that.
Yeah, it's to speed up the process. Now, again, if you're a jerk and you say something that offends someone or that causes an issue, the process slows down immensely.
Immensely, yes.
They can turn that into a couple-hour inspection if they choose to.
I have had multiple DOT inspections over the years. I've gotten through them as quick as 15, 20 minutes.
Yeah.
I've had some that lasted over 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
It's grueling. It's stressful.
You must have been a jerk, dude. That's what it was for those long ones.
You know, this is one of those bad days where I just wanted to scream at everybody.
And I totally understand that. I worked with one officer that he was just, he was in a bad mood all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I did not like working with him when we did this because he rubbed people the wrong way. And again, there's great officers out there and there's poor officers out there. Same way there is with truck drivers.
I was going to say, I have gotten pulled over by guys who have said, hey, I'm really, really sorry.
Yep.
I don't mean to hold you up, but I just got to do a quick inspection. I'm really sorry. And I'm like, hey, go ahead, do what you got to do. What do you need from me? Let me. And I've gotten pulled over. I've gotten pulled over by guys who've pretty much might as well just spit all over me. You could tell they just couldn't stand truck drivers. They're very, very authoritative, very bullish, and it was just like, oh my gosh. He felt like you were getting arrested for nothing.
Yeah, I felt like there was quite a few guys that I just got the attitude of, it's us against them.
And
that's not the way that it should be done.
And I have always approached, I mean, first few times I got pulled over by DOT, I was scared to death.
Yep.
I had no idea what to expect. You know, they tell you about it in training and in school, but until you actually go through it, you don't know.
Yeah.
There's 108 things you're supposed to do on a pre-trip. And out of those 108 things, there's at least 3 or 4 subcategories to each one of those 108 things. So there's, in a normal pre-trip, you're looking at possibly 300 to 400 things if you do a proper pre-trip.
Yep.
There's no, I mean, you're not going to always catch everything every time. You're not always going to be 100% on the ball. And so you get pulled over for, get DOT inspected. It can be very stressful. So that's what we want to go over with today is some of the things, what to expect, how to act, what kind of maybe paperwork and stuff that you need to have ready and things like that.
I think to start off with, let's talk about who gets stopped and why they get stopped.
Okay, I got a good one on that one. Go ahead.
it's been a while since I've gone through my training, but again, one of the first things that we were taught was we have to, whether we're sitting in a turnaround mm-hmm. in the median or we're sitting on a ramp or we're sitting somewhere watching, we're looking for certain things. We're looking for, number one, the cleanliness of the truck, yep. how clean it is. If it's got a lot of road debris, it's got fiberglass sticking up where they've had some dings and dents.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm also looking at the dash.
Yep.
When I look for the dash, I'm looking for all kinds of potato chip wrappers. I'm looking for paperwork. I'm looking for McDonald's bags. I'm looking for just garbage and stuff that shouldn't be there.
Yep.
And the logic there is that if that's how you treat the inside of your truck, chances are you're going to treat the outside of your truck very similar.
Yep.
So those are the things we look at first. Now, obviously, we're looking for traffic violations. We're looking for speed violations, light violations, mud flap violations, all that kind of stuff. But again, that's the first thing we're taught at is just to kind of observe a vehicle, a commercial vehicle, and just watch it for a couple seconds.
Yeah, I was taught in school and in training, you know what? You keep yourself professional, keep yourself, keep your attire clean. If you look professional and present yourself professional, keep your hair combed, keep your beard trimmed, keep the stuff off the dash,
because
that's a dead giveaway. And keep your truck clean, and more times than not, they're not even going to bother because they're going to look and go, they're going to look at you and go, this guy's got his crap together.
Yeah.
He's, so I'm not going to bother wasting my time because he's probably got his crap outside of the truck together too. Now, that being said, the funny thing about that is I've gotten pulled over 3 and 4 times a year.
Right.
You want to know why? Because it's the end of their shift.
Yeah.
And they want to go home, but they want to get one more in. And, hey, here comes a nice, professional-looking, clean-cut guy with a nice, clean truck that's got his – he was going to be a real quick, and I can get him in and out, and I can go home.
You're exactly
they've
right.
actually told me that.
Exactly right.
I said, wait a minute. Well, you're supposed to only get pulled over if you don't look like you got it together.
And you're exactly right. There is no quota. I mean, there's no T-shirt that says, two more DOT inspections.
My
wife gets a toaster or anything like that.
Yeah, okay. But they have, sometimes they have a certain number they want to get
absolutely.
Done in a day.
When you go in to talk to your supervisor, which that's what I was, they had to say, what did you do? Well, I stopped 2 trucks today. Well, that's not fair. These other guys are out there stopping, 10, 12. In an 8-hour period. So
yeah, two and 8 hours is pretty slow.
So again, it's just showing activity. And you're exactly right. Sometimes they would do one they knew was going to be an easy one.
Yeah. Okay. And I've gotten that quite a bit where they said, I didn't see anything wrong, but I wanted to get one more quick one in before my end of the day, and you looked like you were going to go quick, so let me do this real fast and get you out of here.
Well, things have changed a lot in the past couple of years.
Yeah.
Now most of these units carry license plate readers.
Yeah.
So that by the time you leave their windshield, they have your license plate number, they have who that's registered to, who the company is, and also your safety score.
Yeah.
Now, they don't have the driver's safety score, but they have the company safety score.
Yeah, because they don't know who's actually driving the truck.
Correct.
Yeah.
But they know, like in this case, Continental, we have a good rating. We're really high right now, but we have some deficiencies, and those guys know that.
Oh, yeah.
And they know that, Continental has a little bit of a problem with this or this or this.
So they know to kind of look in those areas to see if we're improving or not. Yeah.
And again, if you do have a bad DOT inspection, whether you have a mud flap that's not there and two of your lights are out, and you have other issues, Okay. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you may have even gotten stopped for speeding, which is even more points. But again, the more better inspections we have, it brings our numbers back up.
Yeah.
So, but one bad inspection brings a lot of those good ones back down.
Well, from what I heard, the ratio is, and I've just heard this over the years from multiple people, and from pretty good sources, is it takes 8 passing good inspections to negate one bad inspection.
That might be. I've never heard that before with any numbers, but you're probably pretty close.
And I've heard that from multiple people.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, like I said, now I've been pulled over multiple times. I mean, one of the first things I always try to do, whether the guy's being really nice, whether he's being a jerk or whatever, I'm always just me. I always cut up. I like to joke around. I'll try to think of something to say or something to get the guy to laugh, to get him to just ease up a little bit if he's real tense or real, a real militant. And usually it works. I've had some guys that were just really intense and really militant, and by the time we were done, they were laughing and joking with me. You get them laughing, get them talking. They're people just like you, everybody else.
Absolutely.
And more times than not, you're gonna have a much better experience. I had one time, a couple of years ago, I got pulled over on New Year's Day. At first thing I did, he comes up to the door and I says, "Hey, Happy New Year's." He says, "We're going to start the New Year's out right." He goes, "Well, we'll see when we're done."
Yeah.
I said, "I bet you it's going to be a good one."
Yeah.
And he just started laughing. Yeah. And he was chuckling through the whole thing.
Yeah.
And then that very same year, I got pulled over on my birthday. I go over to the passenger door. He's coming up. And I open the door and I says, "Let me guess." I said, "I bet you didn't pull me over to tell me happy birthday, did you?" And he just started dying laughing. He goes, "Is it really your birthday?" I said, "Yeah, it really is." He goes, "Oh, well, let's see how happy of a birthday you're going to get." But I mean, right then and there, this guy was laughing. We were joking.
Yeah.
He thought it was just awesome,
The drivers out there are professional drivers. They're not doing it for fun. They're professionals. Yeah. And you got to understand that the officers that are stopping you are professionals as well.
Yeah.
And as long as you both are professional and, don't give the other a problem, it goes pretty quickly. And it usually goes, it goes well.
It can be favorable. Yeah. I mean, most of the time I have a packet of stuff. Well, not really a packet, a pile of stuff. And I leave it in the passenger side door well, in the door sleeve. And I probably got like 20, 30 logbook sheets, because you got to have at least 12 of them.
You have to have 10.
Okay, well, I got way more than that.
Good.
I got the paper that shows how the tablet works, how my logbook stuff
instructions
works. Mm-hmm. I've got the blue booklet of all the slips and stuff.
Registration, driver's license, your DOT
insurance,
your DOT health card. There's a lot of things that
if you have
that together.
Yeah,
that saves so much time.
And I have it all right there: the permit book, all that stuff. So, and I'm right there at the door. So when he's like, "Hey, I need this, this, and this," it's like, "There you go."
Yep.
And he's like, "Whoa." The last thing you want is for that guy, especially if it's raining or if it's a little cold, you don't want him standing there for 10 minutes while you fight through a pile of junk trying to find a logbook page or something.
So this one officer that I mentioned earlier that I really didn't have a lot of love for and didn't like working with him, we stopped a truck and the guy couldn't find his paperwork. And we even talked about it ahead of time, let's do a quick one. And when he couldn't find his paperwork, this officer finally said, "Look, we're going to go ahead and do a level one. And hopefully in the meantime, you can find your paperwork. But until then," we went out and he went over that truck with a toothbrush and a putty knife trying to find what he wanted to find.
Yep.
So as long as you have your paperwork in order, and which even goes with your bills of lading.
Yeah.
And some officers will ask for signed bills of lading. And how many of our customers actually sign paperwork? You know, not very many, but it's required.
The driver is supposed to
sign. Correct.
You're not supposed to have a blank bill of lading, which that is one thing. It's easy to do. You get there, you get loaded, you get your bills, you sign it. They take the one you signed for their copy, give you the couple and you go and leave. Well, if you don't sign those, then that's a violation, and they can't get you for that.
Yeah.
So you should make sure when you sign all of your bill of ladings. But if you have your paperwork and the stuff right there, it just goes right along with having a clean truck, a clean dash, and looking like you've got everything, like you're on top of everything. It gives them the pretense of, hey, this guy's got it together. Yeah. They're not going to go over with a putty knife, like you said. Yeah.
Right. So. And again, it's the instructions for your Qualcomm or your iPad or whatever kind of electronic device you're using. Yeah. Most of the guys that I have been around probably know that unit better than you do.
Yeah.
When it comes time to sending logs and sending the information. And I've had, now one thing we were told is we don't like to touch anything electronic because we don't want to be accused of altering anything, changing anything, which before the log, electronic logs could be changed on the fly.
Yeah.
Now they can't.
Now they can't.
Now they're pretty much locked in. But we were told, you know, don't touch it unless you absolutely have to. Number one, we don't want to be accused of changing anything. Also, we don't want to accuse of any damage or destroying it.
Exactly,
You know, this thing worked fine until you touched it, officer. You know, that kind of stuff.
Now we got a thing on their tablets where you hit the inspection and it brings up a four-digit PIN, and you type in a four-digit PIN, and then you confirm the four-digit PIN, and it locks everything out except for the only thing the officers could see is only what they need to see.
Correct.
What they're allowed to see, and then when it's done, you go back in, put your four-digit PIN in, and it unlocks it back up.
Right.
And that protects you, but it also protects the officer.
And that wasn't there before.
Yeah, it wasn't there before.
That was a false safe that actually came in later.
Yeah.
What we would normally do would be, even if I want to give you my email address for you to send, you know, eight days worth of logs, now I would just give you my calling card, and it's got my email on it, then you put it in. And a lot of guys, it take them, you know, 10 minutes to get that in. But that also gives them something to do while I'm checking paperwork.
It's funny you mention that, because we first went to this new tablet with a motive, like a week later, I got DOT'd. And the guy gave me his number to type in to send, and it wouldn't go in. And it wasn't working. I'm going, what the heck's going on? And he looking at it, he couldn't figure. He's like, well, where's your book that shows, it's all right here.
Yep.
He goes, well, you're supposed to do this and this, and it's supposed to work. And I'm like, but it's not. And he goes, you're supposed to know. And I'm going, this is a brand new thing. It's brand new with our company. Yep. I just got it a week ago. And he says, well, I'll tell you what. He goes, I want to go start my paperwork and do a quick walk around. He goes, see if you can get this figured out. And I said, okay. I said, I'm really sorry. I'm sweating bullets going, whoa. What it was, our DOT number wasn't put in correctly.
Okay.
And so it wouldn't let it proceed.
Okay.
I literally had to call logs, the log department, and I'm going, hey, I'm getting DOT'd right now. This isn't working. What's going on?
Yeah.
And then I come to find out, nobody that's had it has been, I'm the very first person that got DOT'd in the company having it. I'm going, oh great, this isn't what I wanted to hear. But they found out that it was that's what it was. I got with Ron, he fixed it, and then boom, it worked, and the officer was more than that. Matter of fact, him and I were laughing about it.
Yeah.
But by the end of it, we were both laughing about it, because I said, you're never going to believe why this wouldn't work.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I'm glad it was taken care of, because it's one of those that, yeah. One thing we didn't really want to do was we didn't want to put anybody out of service.
Yeah.
Everybody is doing something to get paid for it. And when you're out of service, chances are you're sitting there for free.
You're losing money.
Yeah. And we also, and one of the, I'm not going to go through all the verbiage because it's pretty patented as far as what we say and how we say it and what we're asking.
Yeah.
But I ask you, who owns the truck? Is this company truck or is this your truck? Okay. Whether I'm stereotyping or not, you can say whatever you want, but somebody who's an owner operator, they're on their own clock. They're on their own dollar.
Yeah.
I want to get them in and out pretty quickly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay? And not that I would make a company guy later, or hey, it's okay, it's a big company, you know, they can afford these, you know, violations and the points. That's not what it was at all. I wanted to know so I could get them back on the road.
Yeah. Yep.
And let them go. Not that that's right or wrong, but it's what it is.
Yeah, it is what it is. Like you said, when you're an owner-operator, you're incurring all the costs on that truck.
Absolutely.
When you're a company driver, you're getting paid by the mile, but the company's incurring the cost of the truck. So you're not out as much.
Right. But when I was doing stops, we didn't know, the scores. We didn't know what everyone's CSA scores were. We didn't pay attention to that. But now, these guys know what our scores are before they make a traffic stop. Have you ever noticed that, and you probably hear this on the CB, but usually the guys that do these inspections are usually in certain areas, and they're not all over the place. They're usually in a given area.
Yeah.
The reason being is because they know their territory of where they can pull a vehicle over safely and be off the road enough to do their inspection, or have an alternate location that he'll say, hey, follow me. We're going to go up the road. We're going to make a right. We're going to pull into this parking lot.
Yeah. So, I've done that. I've done both of those. But
I hate to say it, but there are certain areas where you're going to get a lot more activity as far as DOT inspections than others.
Yeah. And I see that all the time in certain areas where, hey, there's always a DOT cop sitting here.
Yep.
And when he's not sitting here, he's got a truck pulled over about 2 miles up the road where there's a nice wide place for them to do safety.
You're going to find them probably within a mile of each direction of a rest area.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
And then once they pull you into the rest area, while they're there, then somebody else pulls in and they're going to go talk to them.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
But that you're going to find that. And again, I don't think it's something that not everyone understands and knows.
Yeah.
But you know, think about it. They've got to have a safe place to do it. They're not going to do it on a hill. They're not going to do it at the bottom of a crest of a hill.
They're not going to be standing out in the middle of an oncoming traffic lane trying to look under your trailer.
Absolutely.
Yeah, they're not going to do that.
Yeah. And plus, it depends on what kind of level or what we're going to be doing as far as inspections. You know, you're not going to put a creeper along the side of the road.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
They're just totally unsafe. So you're going to take somewhere where we know that there's plenty of room, it's well lit, we don't have to worry about someone, getting too close to us or going by us, you know, trying to blow our hats off, which I know you guys never did, but.
I would never do that. I think it's funny that you mentioned, like, if you pull into a rest area, there's one there, they may come over and that's happened to me a couple times.
Absolutely.
And my first response always is, I got no problem if you want to do that. Can I go to the bathroom first? Because that's why I pulled in here.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
Yeah, but you keep yourself presentable, keep your paperwork in hand, you know, handy, close by to try to speed the process up for your benefit, for their benefit. You remain and stay professional and calm, even if they goad you and poke at you. I mean, I've had one guy that up in Ohio literally told me, and this was probably 15 or 16 years ago, they were doing a blitz, and it was in a wide open spot, and they had 4 or 5 trucks pulled over.
Mm-hmm.
There's this really, really, really heavy set truck driver walking across the parking lot. I mean, this guy was way out of shape, really bad. And the guy that was DOT me, you could tell he just loathed truck drivers. He was just disgusted with them, didn't like them. And he's looking at me and goes, how long have you been driving? I said, like 3 or 4 years or something, whatever it was at the time. He goes, that's going to be you in 5 years if you keep driving. You really want to drive a truck? Why would you want to drive a truck? He says, you look young, you look fit. He goes, that's going to be you in 5, 10 years. You're going to look just like that. That's disgusting. Man. And I'm going, wow. Well, here I am, 15 years later. I think I maybe gained 5 pounds.
That officer probably retired.
Medical
disability or something.
But I've had some really nasty ones. But, you know, and there are times where I've actually had DOT inspections where they couldn't find anything wrong.
Yeah.
And they still were going to, but one told me, no, I'm going to keep looking till we find something.
Yeah.
And I actually got a violation one time. This was when I got DOT'd for 2.5 hours.
Mm-hmm.
This guy, he even opened the trailer looked inside it to look. I mean, he went nuts. He could not find anything wrong, which, yeah, thank goodness. He said, my boss says if I don't find something wrong with every single truck we pull over, then, yeah, I'm not doing my job, because I'm not getting in trouble today, so we're going to find something. Yeah. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, that,
you know what he ended up getting me with? The hoses that hang down in front of your tandems, they were perfectly fine. They were far enough off the ground. Nothing was wrong with them. But he literally said that the group of hoses there, and I said, yeah. He goes, I said, they're off the ground enough. He goes, oh, yeah. He goes, but the way that zip tied up there, well, where it was attached, he says, if you hit a bump just right in the wrong way on one of the, with one of those tires, that could sway. And if it sways just right while you're having to be turning, that could rub. And if that happens enough, you could rub a hole in that. He goes, so I'm going to give you a violation for that. And I looked at him, I said, you can't give me a violation for maybe something that might happen, almost, yeah, maybe never, kind of could possibly not ever going to happen. He goes, yeah, he goes, well, I could do that, or we can keep looking. He goes, how much time do you have? And I'm like, yeah. I said, oh.
Yeah, there's some good officers and there's some questionable. I know, yeah, when I went through training, my instructor was an investigator mm-hmm, for 25 years.
Okay.
And he said that he could take a brand new truck that came off of a dealer's lot, and then 15 minutes later, he could find a violation.
And I
totally understand, but mm-hmm, I don't know. I disagree with that. We did want them to make sure that the trucks were safe to be on the road.
Yeah, yeah, there's a gray area. And yeah, and like you said, like there's sometimes you're going to run across a bad DOT guy having a bad, yeah, day, but how many truck drivers do they come across, absolutely, that are having a bad day? So let's say you get pulled over. Let's mm-hmm, say you've got all your stuff together, your paperwork's in order, and you're maintaining a professional attitude, yeah, and a positive attitude, and things go well. What kind of things happen? Like, let's say you have a violation. What next? What happens?
Well, let's go back a little bit. I want to talk a little bit about what you do when you're stopped, because it also depends on where you're stopped. Okay, you know, if you're in the rest area and you're already stationary, or you just pull in, I would go to the driver's door as long as it was safe.
Yeah.
Because I want to see, number one, your demeanor, how you're dressed. I want to see what's around you. I want to see how much trash is on the floor of your cab.
Yeah, which you're pretty much like, as soon as they open the door, you're at eye level.
I am. Now, some of the old day doors that used to have the window in the lower of the door, you could look through there and see pretty much what you wanted to see. But I want to see how this guy is living while he's driving.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And that's going to tell me, again, it's going to tell me what kind of driver he is, plus how good of equipment he's going to take care of his equipment.
Yeah.
Okay. But again, just be professional. Don't take your seatbelt off until you're told to.
Yes, if you do that, they could nail you and say, "Hey, you're not wearing your seatbelt."
Yeah, I never actually got into an argument or gave someone a citation for not wearing one. If you, I just say, "Look, to be safe, keep it on until I come up to the truck next time, or whoever comes up to the truck next time."
Yeah.
Again, as soon as you open that door, I'm gonna smell your truck. Not because I think that you're a dirty trucker. But, you know, I'm smelling some herb. I'm smelling some kind of marijuana. I'm smelling an odor of an alcoholic beverage. I'm smelling things that you've been cooped up in this cab, mm-hmm, you know, for the last 3 or 4 hours that now you're accustomed to. I'm going to open the door, and it's just observations.
Yeah. I mean, and you have to do that, because it's not like they're going to open the door and go, "Hey, want a hit?" Or, yeah, "Hey, or would you like a beer?"
I open the door, and two cans are at his feet.
Yeah,
and they're not Pepsi Cola cans. You know, they're Bud Light, Keystone, whatever he's drinking.
Yeah, I mean, you got to understand, even just a DOT officer that works at a scale is still a law enforcement officer.
Yeah.
So you're going to be subject to DUIs or OVIs.
You're not permitted to have alcohol in your truck. You're not permitted to transport alcohol unless it's a product that you're transporting in the back.
Exactly,
of your truck.
But you know, so. Yeah. But either way, yeah, it may not be a highway patrol or yeah. or a police officer, but they're still yeah, going they're to still, look for that
they're still
stuff.
Sworn officers.
Yeah, they're still going to look for those. Kind
if
of
we're on the interstate and I stop you initially, mm-hmm. I'm going to come up to your passenger side door because number one, it's safer for me. Mm-hmm. And plus, I don't give you other truckers the opportunity to blow my hat off.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. But again, I'm going to come up and I'm going to, you're probably going to roll your window down. And then I'm going to ask if I can open the door. As soon as I open the door, I'm doing the same thing I did on the driver's side. I'm just observing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to step up into the truck and do a quick look around to see what I can see.
Mm-hmm.
And I do have the right to look. No, yeah. I'm not going to go through your bag in the back. I'm not going to go through your bunk, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, you can't but, you can't do an actual physical search.
No, not unless I have probable cause or yeah. anything like that. And I'm not going to do that. But what I am, I'm just kind of looking around to see what's in the – number one, I want to know who's in the truck. If you're in the truck, if you've got someone else in the bunk, I want to know about that. If you've yeah. got your wife, your girlfriend, hopefully not at the same time, but one of those two yeah. in your truck with you, yeah. I need identification on them.
Yeah, because you don't know.
I have to have, we have to see the authorization for them to be in your vehicle.
Yeah.
And that comes from your company.
Yeah.
With human trafficking, it's mandatory.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah, because you don't know who that yeah. is. Yeah, you know. And you don't know what the and you got to make sure you're going into a safe situation.
Absolutely.
And you got to make sure everybody involved in the situation is safe.
So when I step into the truck, first thing I'm going to ask is I need to see your driver's license. I need to see registration and insurance. That's as far as I go, just those three things.
Mm-hmm.
And then while you're telling me where they are, or you're starting to reach, I'm going to ask, do you have anything that is dangerous in this truck? Do you have any weapons or any kind of anything that's illegal?
Yep, I've been asked that before.
Okay.
Yeah.
And
I always tell them I left my wife at home.
Good. That's excellent. And hopefully they'll be honest with you.
Yeah.
You know, I've never personally found a weapon in the vehicle other than a tire thumper. That'd be
that's a normal yeah. thing that, you know, I mean, it can be used as a weapon, but it's also a yeah. tool for the truck.
It is.
So, yeah.
It is. But from there on, it's definitely conversation. I mean, mm-hmm. I have a job to do. That officer has a job to do. And just try to make it as simple and as easy and painless as possible.
Yeah, I mean,
by cooperating.
And at the same time, while you're looking at the truck, I assume you're also looking at the driver and assessing
Absolutely.
His physical demeanor. Is he jumpy, fidgety? Is yep. his eyes bloodshot? Or is he looking like he just yeah. woke up and he's half asleep?
We actually call that the pucker factor.
Pucker factor.
Okay.
You got to explain that one.
It's how scared or how... not intimidated, but how nervous they are.
Yeah, like,
and I'll be very honest. You know, Dave, you're upset. You're kind of nervous right now. Have you ever been stopped? And this has ever happened to you before? How many DOT inspections have you gone through? Well, to be honest, this is my second. You know, and I've been driving 2 years. Or yeah, it happens to me all the time. Well, then there's something else that I need to be a little bit
yeah,
more cautious
okay, what else
with.
Is going on here?
Something
yeah.
else. You know, you've got a guilty conscience. You're upset. Something's happening yeah. here that, you know, I just need to watch.
Yeah.
Okay.
And on top of that, like, what are some of the signs? I know, like, a few years back, there was a big push on fatigue driving.
Yeah.
And we were actually notified that you could, if you got pulled into a scale and they DOT'd you, if the driver if the officer determined that you were tired
yeah.
Or fatigued in any way, they could shut you down. Now, yeah. Are you familiar with that? And what
not
kind of
not as much,
they...
not as much, because we did not do a lot of. I personally, I should say, did not do a lot of following mm-hmm. trucks to watch for them to any kind of inclination that they were weaving or tired.
Okay.
I just didn't have firsthand knowledge on that. So I can't really speak on
well,
that.
Well, no, this was something like after you were already pulled over
stopped
like in a scale.
It's part of...
They would ask you questions
yep.
and go over things.
A lot of it is, you know, where are you coming from?
Yeah.
What are you hauling? You know, what's your destination? How many, you know, when was the last time you were home?
Yeah, how long have you been driving today? Things
absolutely.
Like that, yeah.
And it's just stuff that, so that we just kind of, I guess... we assume that you're good to drive, but we're going to just give you some questions just to make sure that, you know, you're not so tired that you can't concentrate or answer my questions.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. But once we do the inspection, I personally, obviously I'm not certified to do a level one inspection. Mm-hmm. That takes a special certification and special training, which obviously we didn't do enough of it for me to even consider.
And that's the one where they kind of go like over the whole
truck. They're going over the whole truck.
Yeah.
Normally the ones that we would do, number one, make sure you're valid. Make sure that, you know, your CDL, all your paperwork is correct. All your bills are correct. Your log is correct. There's nothing wrong with the truck. I just want to make sure that you're safe to drive legally.
And the truck's safe to be driven.
And the truck is safe.
Yep.
So I will walk around. I probably, the only time I would drop a hood or I would make someone open the hood would be if I find a tire tread was in question.
Okay.
Then I'd have them lift the hood so I could actually look down on the steer tires. But the rest of the time, I don't look at the steering box. I don't look at how much play is in the steer. I don't check brakes. I don't check brake lines. I'm looking for tread. I'm looking for lights. I'm looking for mud flaps.
That horn.
I'm horn, windshield wipers, making sure everything is good for you to drive down the road.
And that probably right there, I've been doing this 20 years. That right there has probably been 95% of my DOT inspections where they just say, hey, I just want your license, registration, proof of insurance, and then I'm gonna do a quick walk around and just keep an eye on me in the mirrors. I'll tell you when to turn your signals on and in less than 5 minutes, they got all the information they need, and all you're doing is waiting for them to print it off and go.
That's it.
That's usually how it goes.
I would never ask a driver to get out of the truck. I always wanted them to stay inside the truck. I can walk around the truck without someone behind me or looking over my shoulder. I prefer that you'd stay inside the vehicle where I know where you are.
Yeah. Okay?
And I know that you're safe. Yeah. It also depends on where we are too, but I don't want anyone outside the truck. Stay inside the truck. Now, if I ask you to get outside the truck, then that's when you grab your vest. I've had many people that I would say, hey, you know, you've got a mud flap that's hanging down, and it's split down the middle. No, I don't. Well, if you want to take a look at it, get your vest on, and then you can come out and we'll take a look at it.
Now, is that a violation?
It's not a violation, but it's a safety consideration.
Okay.
I would prefer that you do that. And when I'm doing my inspection, I've got my vest on.
Yeah. Okay.
And number one, I can still get to my duty weapon if I needed to. I still have everything on my belt that I can get to if I need to, but it's more visible. I'm safer when I do that.
Yeah, especially if you're on the side of the road or somewhere where there could be traffic. Yeah.
So initially I won't have it on, but by the time I get to walk around the truck and the trailer, I'll grab it and have it on.
And I notice most of the time that they usually, that's exactly how they do it too. So,
In fact, I still have a vest in the back of my car right now.
Yeah.
Just in case.